All right, this is always the hour that every teacher does not like. It's the hour after lunch. We call it the hour of death. I went long the second session. This one will be a little shorter. So it will, Lord willing, we'll end with a note here of encouragement and help called The Passion of Marriage, Increasing in Zeal. This was several years ago when I think if you were to ask my wife when she married me and for, you know, several years into our marriage to describe me, she would say, he's laid back. Right? That'd be right, honey. You're kind of laid back. Well, you won't find that in the concordance of the Bible. You know, what is laid back? In the South, it's very common. And I began to think through that. That's just sort of even keel. I don't get too excited about anything. Just pretty much, not flatliner, but, you know, not real up, not real down. And her dad was an avid college football, and back in Columbia it would be the USC back there of the University of South Carolina. So we went to a football game, and it was one where they're playing Clemson, which is the big rival, like UCLA and USC here, right? I mean, it's just the big rival game. And we were sitting there, and it was going back and forth. All of a sudden, some plays were made, and I stood up. I go, all right, you know. And I'm going, and she's kind of looking at me. Who are you? I became pretty passionate and zealous at a football game. But in other areas of life, not so passionate or too zealous. And I want to take you to a passage of Scripture that it's one verse. You will have it memorized by the time we're done because it's very short. But I think if it's on your mind, first, glorifying God, humble attitude, right? Glorifying God, humble attitude, and then increasing in our zeal in everything that we do. That the Lord will almost do a makeover in our marriage, either a soft reset or a hard one. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. We're still in the area of application. We've turned the corner from, isn't the gospel applied? And there's a series of exhortations in Romans chapter 12. And when I first read these, you know, I was trying to follow the line of argument from the Apostle Paul or the Spirit of God through Paul. I hit verse 9. Well, at verse 8, you know, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who acts of mercy with cheerfulness. And then I came to verses 9 through 13. And there's just a series of exhortations. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Verse 11 was where we'll hone in on. Do not be slothful. Another word. Don't be laid back in zeal. Don't be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Now, when you're looking at those, all those exhortations, you're thinking, so what's the theme running through all of those? Well, they're just a series of exhortations. And I checked Hebert, which is usually a good source to go to when you're looking at the New Testament and the language. I'm thinking, am I missing something here? How they all kind of tie together? And he just says they're just a series of exhortations. It's just, boom, on living with one another, here are several things you need to remember, and it's not that each is related to the next and a flow going on, it's just a numerous exhortations. But verse 11 is the one I really want you to take home. I want you to take home when we're thinking about our marriages, our walk with the Lord, do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. So let's take a look at this word zeal. What comes to your mind when one hears the word zeal? Someone that's hyper, someone that maybe hasn't taken their Ritalin or Statera or some sort of chemical, a young boy who's just bouncing off the walls. Is it a salesman who just high pressures you and you think, boy, they're pretty zealous? Is it guys riding around on bicycles with the name Elder on their shirt? When you think of the word zeal, what comes to your mind? Well, most of the time we're thinking enthusiasm, diligence. Well, what is Webster's definition of it? This is according, again, just out of Webster's dictionary. It's eagerness and an ardent interest in pursuit of something. A synonym is passion. You're have an ardent and eager interest in pursuit of something. When we are discipling others, when we're helping one another in our relationships, I think three questions need to come to our mind. The first is, what is God's kind of zeal? If we could take a look at God's zeal in Scripture, it might help us to better understand what the Spirit of God is trying to do in our lives to make us more like Christ. Secondly, what place should this zeal have in my walk with the Lord and in our one anothering? And discipling one another, helping one another to grow in Christ. And then third, how do I make it so? Zeal in the Scriptures. Let's just start with Old Testament. There's only one word that's translated zeal in the Old Testament. Sometimes that Old Testament term is transliterated with jealousy. Kind of an interesting thing. It's the one attitude that has anger and love mixed together. Zeal is the one quality that has anger and love mixed together. Your anger, you're loving with all your heart something so much that anything that even tries to take away gets your anger. And so that is why sometimes it is translated jealousy. But it's the word kinah, the Old Testament word kinah. New Testament, there's two words. The first one you'll recognize, zelos, from zeal, where we get zeal from, zelos. A close word to it from the same root you're familiar with in the churches to the Revelation, the one at Laodicea. When the Lord said, I wish that you were either hot, zestus, comes from zelos. I wish that you were either hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. That word hot is the word where we get zeal. A fervency about whatever God has in our life at that particular time. The other word is spude. It's a word that, according to one of the linguistic keys, it's a command or commends a knowledgeable, wholehearted, and industrious enthusiasm toward a person, idea, or cause. It's a command. Or it commends a knowledgeable, wholehearted, and an industrious enthusiasm toward a person, idea, or cause. Wow. It drips with sweat, this word. It drips with energy towards whatever, whether it's a person, idea, or a cause. Now think in our marriages. When we first meet each other, at least for most of you, maybe not all of you, there was some zeal in getting to know each other, talking on the phone late at night. I mean, there was just a zeal and energy of, I want to get to know this person. I want to spend time with this person. How can I figure out my whole schedule to be with this person? There's a lot of zeal going on. And then after a year or two of marriage, all of a sudden, marriage is kind of, the zeal dies down. And now either children come along, and then zeal towards the children, and then it's zeal towards workplace. Well, you're up early, you'll give it your all, you have nothing when you come home. The zeal goes into the workplace or into the kids. We are supposed to be a zealous people in everything we set our mind and heart to do. That is where we need to be faithfully zealous in everything we put our mind and heart to do. Let's keep going through this. Now, here's the verse. Again, I could probably blacken the screen. Don't be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Right? Don't be slothful in zeal. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. That's kind of the verse to take home today to put it all together. Generally speaking, zeal is a good thing. You have this, I believe, in your notes, so you don't have to write a whole lot. Generally speaking, within Scripture, we see God's zeal for holiness. We see a zeal for His children, our hearts, His glory, for judgment and justice, and for His Father's temple. If you're taking notes, zeal is often associated with holiness. It's often associated with holiness. When holiness goes out, so does zeal. And so this fervency, this diligence in relationships and everything that we do wholeheartedly as unto the Lord is sort of tied together with a pursuit of holiness. Specifically, commanded zeal is by God in several areas. Commanded to be zealous in our obedience, and you have all of these with the references. To be zealous in our praise, in righteousness, in our trust, in spirit, in prayer, for service. I mean, you can keep going through all of those. We're commanded to be zealous in all that we do. And I never intentionally thought through this, but I was zealous in what I chose to be zealous in. If I really liked this, I was going to put my zeal into it. If this was something that, well, it's doing okay, it didn't get my zeal. And even in your walk with the Lord and everything we do, we need to not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit. It's not a personality type. It is a command for all of God's people. We are to be, here are some zealous followers in Scripture. I want you to take a look at this one guy, Phinehas. I came across him as I was reading through. He comes out a few different times. His name is mentioned, but Numbers chapter 25. The context, you have Balaam, who's trying to, he won't put a curse on Israel, but he can be bought off, and how to get Israel mixed in immorality. And there's a judgment that comes upon Israel, because they were involved now with the daughters of Moab. This is chapter 25, verse 1. The people began to whore with the daughters of Moab. They invited the people to sacrifice their gods, and the people ate, bowed down to their gods. Now this is what the Lord says in verse 4. And the Lord said to Moses, take all the chiefs of the people of Israel. Take all the chiefs of the people and hang them in the sun before the Lord, that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel. Now that's, you've got some estimated a couple million people here with Israel. And they take all the chiefs and hang them. And verse 6, and behold, one of the people of Israel came and brought a Midianite woman to his family in the sight of Moses and in the sight of the whole congregation of the people of Israel while they were weeping in the entrance of the tent of meeting. And verse 7, now you're going to see some zeal in action. When Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest, so Aaron's grandson, when he saw it, but this guy was going to go take this woman and go in and have sex with her in the tent right in front of everyone, Phinehas doesn't get on his knees and pray about this one. What he does, he rose, he left the congregation, he took a spear in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the chamber and pierced both of them, the man of Israel and the woman, through her belly. Thus the plague of the people of Israel was stopped. Nevertheless, those who died by the plague were 24,000. Phinehas had such a love for God, a fear of God, wanting to pursue holiness in the congregation of Israel, that this statement made by a fellow Israelite having immoral relations right in front of everyone, he just took a spear and went in and killed them both. You think, whoa, that was a bit of a reaction. Well, they had already been judged and already had to hang all of their chiefs. So there was already death occurring. Verse 10, I want to just drop you down how God looks at Phinehas. And the Lord said to Moses, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, son of Aaron the priest, has turned back my wrath from the people of Israel, and that he was jealous. That's the word kinah. He was jealous with my jealousy among them, so that I did not consume the people of Israel in my jealousy. Therefore say, behold, I give to him my covenant of peace. It shall be to him and to his descendants after him the covenant of a perpetual priesthood, because he was jealous or zealous for his God, and he made atonement for the people of Israel. I just wanted you to see an illustration in the Old Testament of a zealous follower of God. We could go through other examples. The psalmist in Psalm 119 said he was exhausted with zeal. John the Baptist, a zealous prophet in that day. The Apostle Paul is spoken of as being zealous as an unbeliever. Wrong goal, wrong motive. And then when God saved him, he was a zealous follower of Christ. There was a man who zealously repented in the church at Corinth, according to 2 Corinthians 7. Epaphras is said to be zealous in his labors for the church at Colossae. Apollos is said to be zealous when he taught. The Roman believers were told, well, we just read Romans 12:11, all of them told to not be slothful, but be zealous. And the Apostle Peter instructs on being fervent in love for one another in a time when there was a persecution in the church. A lot of other examples of zealous followers in Scripture. But let's just move on. When is zeal a bad thing? When is zeal a bad thing? Well, there are a few examples of this in Scripture. Zeal is shown in a negative light when there are impure motives. When your motive is selfish, then your zeal will not be bringing glory to God. When I want what I want, and which it would be lust, zeal, if it's not done for the sake of God's honor and glory and for the good of other people, it'll be selfish and it will dishonor God. It will eclipse His glory. Secondly, when it is without knowledge or accompanied by error. Romans 10:12, Israel has a zeal, but it's not according to knowledge. And you'll see that. You'll see people who just run off with all kinds of enthusiasm and diligence, but it's not according to knowledge or truth. Unfortunately, in the evangelical church, you'll have a group of professing brothers and sisters in Christ who have a lot of zeal and a lot of excitement, enthusiasm, and diligence, but they're not avid students of the Word. And there'll be a lot of activity, but it's not according to truth. Then over across the road in another ditch, you may find those of brothers and sisters in Christ who have all the truth, understand it, and there's no zeal. So that according to truth, but there's no zeal. Zeal without according to knowledge, you have knowledge without much zeal. What we're after, and I think I know what the Lord is after with that command, that exhortation in Romans 12, is have the knowledge of Scripture, but be zealous with it. Be enthused with it. Be diligent with it. And especially in our relationships with one another, in our walk with the Lord. It's also represented negatively when it's associated with a wrong goal. Paul had a wrong goal. He had a zeal to get rid of the church when he was Saul of Tarsus. It was a wrong goal, trying to just almost exterminate anything but Judaism, which would be tied to number two without accompanied with knowledge. So represented negatively there. Let me go on to tied to a warning for disciples. When we're being zealous, here is a bit of a warning. Be genuine in your zeal. Be genuine. It's back in Romans 12 where it says, let your love be genuine. Don't be fakey. Have you ever, if you're putting on something, people can spot it. You can spot some fakiness, a show, but true love and true zeal, according to knowledge, by the Spirit of God, needs to be genuine. I can tell you a situation that happened. I was at a conference, and I had just done some study on this zeal, and I thought, Lord, I'm under such conviction. I have been slothful. I've been, quote, laid back. I've not been more zealous. And I just heard C.J. Mahaney. How many have heard him or seen him? Okay. They get us mixed up in our zeal. I just saw him speak, and his excitement, his diligence, his passion. And I was going to speak at a chaplain's conference. So I was up in Michigan. Zandra was with me. And I was under conviction. Lord, I want to repent. Help me just to be controlled and filled with zeal for you and your word. And I just started doing all kinds of motions and just, you know, try to do, you know, just various things and raise my voice and all kinds of. And after the session, Zandra, in her dear way, said, honey, what's wrong? She said, it's not you, and it wasn't right. I said, what do you mean it wasn't right? She said, well, you were raising your voice when it didn't make any sense, and you made gestures when it didn't even go with what you were saying, and it was fakey. I had an intent. I really wanted to be different because I was so almost stoic before, that in my attempt to be different, to be zealous, I tried in my own effort, and it was not genuine. And the Lord will grow you in this. I just mean be more zealous in your walk with Christ, more zealous in your prayers, more zeal in your communication with one another. If you see each other and you go, hey, love you. Yeah, I love you too. That's not much zeal going on there. That wouldn't convince me. It's be zealous in communication. This isn't inspired, but a professor at UCLA, and that's not, I didn't connect those two, but a professor years ago in the 70s, a Moravian, he wrote a book on called The Silent Message. Anyone read that? The Silent Message in the Area of Communication. He studied students for 20-some years at UCLA. he writes this thing on communication, and he says, when you look at how we communicate one to another, he says, our words and the meaning of our words are only 7% of our communication. The words we say and the meaning are only 7%. He was just studying students, looking at them and how they communicate. And he said the tone of voice is 38% of what we say to one another. The tone. That's five times as much. Now think about that. If you said, Stuart, how are you doing today? Fine. How are you doing today? Fine. There's something different there. Yeah. Love you. I love you. Yeah. Just said the same thing, but I catch a tone. They can either deny it or not. And then finally is the nonverbal. And this is all of the nonverbal. It's 55% of your communication. That's all of the, I mean, everything from gestures to your body posture. So if I just look over at Zandra and go, love you, that doesn't really convey a whole lot of zeal. It's the tone, the nonverbal. But if I go over to her and I say, I love you, and I grab her, you know, whoa. All of it should communicate the words and their meaning. I would encourage you, start there. Lord, help me to be more zealous in our communication and our relationship right there in your marriage. That's the one flesh relationship. Also in your walk with the Lord, more zealous in your prayers and your reading of Scripture, your desire to honor and glorify Him. But the warning is, beware. Don't fake it. People can pick up on that. Just pray, Lord, help me to become more zealous. Now, our perfect example is Christ. And you have it listed there, a lot of things about Christ in His zeal. I won't read it all. But as our perfect example, you could look into the Scriptures and see how zealous He was. He said, the zeal of the Lord has consumed me. Well, how was He jealous? Well, let me go back here. I'll refer to a few of them. In the temple, He cleansed it, number four. He was found praying fervently the night before He was betrayed. And you go to number five, He was zealous and loving those who the Father gave Him. His zeal was empowered by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God came upon Him at baptism and on through His ministry. His zealous actions were premeditated. He had heartfelt emotion. He wasn't stoic, and that was the time of the Stoics, the Epicureans and the Stoics, when Christ was here in the first century. But He had passionate, and that will look different in different people. It'll look different in different people. But out of His zeal, He went to the cross to please the Father, to satisfy the Father, His wrath, and to pay for our sins. Now, zeal and change. First, we need to deal with our motivations. Deal with our motivations. Let me just get to my notes here. William Plummer, if that name doesn't ring a bell, he was a pastor in the mid-1800s. William Plummer. He wrote a lot on the gospel applied in your life. Excellent reading. He wrote a book called Experimental Piety. He extracts a lot out of the Puritans and then puts it in the day there in the mid-1800s. He says, zeal is ardor. It is and is good or bad according to the principles from which it flows. If the Christian religion is true, he says, why do its avid followers and friends manifest so little zeal in maintaining and propagating it? He says there's but one solution, namely, the best of men are but half awake. the best of men are but half awake. In our marriages, in our walk with the Lord, in the one anothering, we need to be praying, Lord, help us to be hot. Not cold, hot. Not lukewarm, but hot. And it doesn't mean we fake how we're coming across. It's that we get more diligent, more focused on everything we do. We pour ourselves in it. Colossians 3 says, whatever you do it wholeheartedly. You ever notice that? Even with love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, all your soul, all your mind. He just wants us to pour ourselves into whatever we do. Whatever we do it with our whole heart. So motivations are going to be from the heart. You're going to have to watch for excuses. Excuses will be like this. Well, that's not my personality type. That's not acceptable in my family. That's not acceptable in our culture. Whatever the excuses are, we have to see them as that. They are excuses. Help me to be zealous. I don't ever imagine I'll be like a C.J. Mahaney. He's his own person by the grace of God. And it's refreshing to be around. It's, Lord, help me be faithful to be zealous. Me. You need to pray the same for you. It's about us being faithful in our zeal. But watch the excuses of following culture, or probably the biggest one is a man fear of what will someone else think. Consider ways to increase zeal. I think we could ask ourselves, am I really passionate about whatever I'm teaching or whatever I'm believing? Am I passionate about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Am I passionate about this person's lost and on their way to hell and needs to hear the gospel? And I think we would need to start there with, because it has to be according to truth. Zeal must be according to knowledge. So am I passionate about truth? Colossians 3:23 is the verse I referred to earlier. Whatever you do, work heartily. And I know that's about a slave to a master, but it has a general application in everything we do. Whatever you do, you work heartily as unto the Lord. Another way to help with increasing zeal is try to be around people who are zealous. I mean, even in a church like this, you're going to have people who are zealous for Christ, zealous for loving one another, zealous for doing what the Lord tells us to do. You want to spend time with them. Be around them. It is a contagious thing to be around zealous people. Just like it's contagious for me to be around people who are laid back, I just sort of fit right in. When you're around people who are zealous and loving God with all their heart, it, you know, the Spirit of God, is that's the way you need to go. So consider that, being around those kind of individuals. Another one, and this is probably most important, make it a daily matter of prayer. Just each day, Lord, help me today as I reflect on the gospel. Help me to be zealous now in everything I do, that I do it for your glory and I do it diligently. I pour my heart into it, whether it's teaching the children, whether it's loving your spouse, every area. Be diligent and zealous. Contemplate ways to express it. I think we need to talk, speak in ways that it's not just the words and their meaning, it's the tone, it's the nonverbal, that it should communicate, I love you, I'm glad you're my brother, I'm glad you're my sister. It needs to communicate a full package, the truth, for the glory of God. Well, I want to go to this, the area of conclusion. Again, we don't want to fake this. We don't want to try rolling up our sleeves and do this on our own effort. in our marriages, in our walk with the Lord, we must do it heartily. A zeal, a putting ourselves into it. I can do that in sports. It comes very natural to me when I'm out on the ball field. I just don't kind of move around nonchalantly. I'm into it and I'm giving it my all. But I need to be that way in everything I do. That is what the Lord is saying to do. Be diligent. Don't be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Especially in ministry, which you have in-home ministry, and you have outside the home ministry, especially in ministry, it ought to get all of our zeal. And that would begin in our walk with the Lord, and then with our spouse, then with our children, and it just flows out from there. So this area of diligence, real zeal, is not something that you can manufacture. Any questions that you have on this area of zeal? Some of you are going, boy, that's not the message to hear right now when I'm trying to keep my eyes open. I'm tired. I got a couple hours of sleep last night. I don't feel very zealous right now. I'd like to go to bed with all my heart and put my zeal there. I do understand that. I would pray that as you have time to reflect on this, that you come back and say, boy, I need to be thinking everything about the glory of God. I need to keep a humble mindset. And I need to pour my heart into everything I'm doing and not do anything half-heartedly. You know, that be hot for Christ and for everything that He commands. Any questions on that? All right, let me close in prayer. Father, we just come before You, and I know so many are tired, and a lot of it is reason they were fellowshipping last night. They were ministering to one another. They were enjoying each other's company, and that's a good thing. And I just thank You that they have set aside a time that they can do this. So many other things preoccupy our time, oftentimes with jobs and even with children, and it's a great time to come together around Your Word, by Your Spirit, in the community, to encourage and help one another. I'm thankful that in these topics that we have looked at, that we were reminded once again that our focus is to bring You glory in all that we do and say. And Lord, we will grow by Your grace if we are humble-minded. And we need Your grace to grow. We don't want You opposed to us in any way. We don't want to steal Your glory and involved in self-worship. And so we pray for a humble mindset, a mindset like Christ, to have that attitude and mindset that He had in serving others and doing Your will. And thirdly, we want to ask You to help us to be much more zealous than we've been. And for those who are zealous, we pray that they might excel still more. But for those who tend to be low-key, laid back, let others do the volunteer work, let others take the initiative, may we repent of that. May we stop being slothful in our zeal, but be fervent in spirit. May we be the initiators. And I pray that the men would especially step up and take the initiative in their homes, their relationships, and the things of You. Lord, we can't do this on our own. We pray that Your Spirit will enable all of our efforts, that we wouldn't take any glory. If anyone recognizes anything that's good, may we be quick to give You praise. And may Your work be done that You have assigned for each one of us to do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.